بالنار والقطع والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق بالعدل، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القيم، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دخلت بالقاء أعظمه، فطابت طيبه القاع والأكم، روحي الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه الأخاف وفيه الجود والكرم، هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل حول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم، ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk problems, as per the command of our honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, Rumi of our time, Mujaddid of this era, and second Tabriz, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Hazrat said, before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnah of Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can become alive in the ummah again. By one example, I'll try and explain that how important the sunnahs are. It's not a long time ago, and many people of that age are present who knew that when we bought rice, then there were little stones also in the rice, and little green pieces of grass also. We knew it when we bought it at the price of rice. When they weighed it, those stones were also weighed. Those pieces of twigs and grass were also weighed. We paid for it the price of rice. And after buying it, we looked after it as we look after the rice. In case it rains, sunshine, somebody steals it, some animals, birds eat it, etc. We looked after the stones also. All this why? Because it was in the company of the rice. It was with the rice. But when the house ladies sat and used to sit for hours cleaning the rice, and they took out the stones, they took out the pieces of grass, now they threw it outside. Now the dog urinates on it, people trample on it, now nobody protects and looks after it. Now nobody will pay for it, even a cent or anything. Why? Because now it's separate from the rice. Just like that, the sunnahs have got great value by Allah Ta'ala. And as long as this ummah was connected with the sunnahs, was connected with the masjid, with Quran Sharif, with the ulama, with Makkah Sharif and Medina Sharif, then we also are like stones. We are like pieces of stones. But we had the value because we were connected with sunnahs, with Quran, with masjid. And nobody separated us. We ourselves separated ourselves from sunnahs, from masjid, from Quran. Now we are the stones and thorns that have been thrown outside. Now the eaters of swine and the drinkers of wine, they trample on us, they torture us. What is not happening in the Muslim world now? There's nothing else but that we have separated ourselves from sunnahs, from deen, from Quran. And to come back on our position is no big deal. We don't need a big army. We don't need a big budget of money. We don't need big buildings and officers and computers. All we have to do is bring sunnahs back in our life. Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali gives this example that, so to say, the thorns under the rose complain to Allah Ta'ala. That, Ya Allah, you made us thorns. And nobody wants thorns in his gardens, So when the garden service will come, the people who clean the garden, they will throw us off because nobody wants thorns in their garden. So to say, Allah says, my thorns, I made you thorns. Nobody will throw you off. You only do one thing, you stay under my roses. And as long as you are under my rose, you will be looked after like a rose. If a person gives a rose to his beloved, the thorns will go well. If you buy a rose for whatever amount of money, 100 rupees, 200, whatever the price might be, you are buying the thorns also at the price of the rose, because they are under the rose. So if we also stay under the sunnahs, we stay underneath, our value will be like that. But if we separate ourselves from the rose, then nobody wants thorns. And today, because we haven't got the deen, the akhlaq, the character, we just got a show of Islam. That is why the people don't like us in the world. Otherwise, if we had the reality of deen, if our akhlaq was good, our character, our muamalat, our business dealing, or whatever, the people should pick us up on grace. But because we have taken that out, today people hate the Muslims. Many places they don't want to see the Muslims. Why? Because of our character. So if we just stay under the roses, stay under the deen, stay with sunnah, our akhlaq, our character, we will have value again. So from that, hopefully we can understand how important the sunnahs are in our lives. One sunnah I will mention by way of example, it comes in the Hadith Sharif that when a person leaves his house in the morning and he reads three simple du'as, which we all know, Bismillah, or every Muslim knows Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah, every Muslim knows. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Three simple du'as. Allah immediately sends an angel, a farishta, to him to give him three du'as in return. We make three du'as and the angel will give us three du'as. The first du'a the angel gives us, Muqita, you got your protection from it. Today security is almost everywhere, number one on the agenda. So if we try not our security, we have faith. But if we get the du'a of the angels, and they give you the du'a and they are mustajab in the Allah, the du'as are 100% accepted. So you got your protection for the day. The second du'a the angel gives you, kufita, your needs for the day have been seen through. All your needs will be fulfilled. A person leaves his house because of his needs. He has to earn, he has to feed himself, his family, he has to pay rent, he has to pay water, diets, all the needs. So your needs will be seen through. The farishta gives you the du'a. And the third du'a, perhaps the most important in our time, hudita, your hidayah for the day has been granted. You won't get misguided, you will be on hidayah. And today perhaps we are living in that zamana, in that era, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about, a person in the morning will be mu'min, by the evening he will have lost his iman, he will be a kafir. A person will be a mu'min in the evening, by the morning he will be a kafir. Today the fitnas are so much all around us. A fitness in our attire, people with wrong beliefs. We ourselves also, and especially our youngsters who are in school, high school, who are at varsity, university, what fitness? How many people are trying to lure them into wrong things? And Qadianis are working, Shias are working, and how much are they working? And not only that, still recently, what I knew that Darwin's theory of evolution, and what is his theory of evolution? That Na'udzubillah, man was a monkey first. Slowly, slowly, he became a human being. This was taught not only in the schools, in our Islamic schools. In grade 9, when a child is about 15 years old, they were teaching this to the children. Now it is being taught in Montessori. The children went before preschool. They are being taught Darwin's theory of evolution. So how? And if a person believed, one time we were in Santiago, Argentina, and after Asad, we were sitting, there were a few people, not so many people. So one grown-up person, maybe about 25, 26, we met, we spoke, asked him, what are you doing? Studying history at university. So I asked him, since you're studying history, what is the origin of man, Muslim man, in the Muslim? He thought a little bit, he said he was a monkey first, and he became a human being. A Muslim has got this belief, then where is our human? Then I asked him, how did the world come in? And with regard to Darwin's theory of evolution, our Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali used to say that there are millions, perhaps billions of monkeys in the world. And from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time till today, he said if one monkey could become a human being, then till today, why didn't another monkey also become a human being? If you got 4 or 5 children, one can become Hafiz, another one can also become, and they become many families, all the children are Hafiz, all are Ali. So if one monkey could become a human being, why till today didn't another monkey also become? This is all their monkey business. And they're making monkeys out of us, and we don't realize it. And we are falling dead long for all these things. Then I asked him about how the origin of the world, how did the world come into existence? Again, he thought a little bit. Then he told me the Big Bang theory. That was a big, huge bang, and the whole world came into existence. This glass here is a small glass. If I should drop it down, it will fall, perhaps it will break. If it breaks, a small noise, a small thing. But by the bang, will the glass be made or will it break? Will the glass be made or will it break? It will break. And they are telling us, which our people are now beginning to believe, that there was a huge, huge, huge bang, and everything fell perfectly into place. How the sun is moving this morning, here in Kirpi, what time the sun rose, 100 years before, 22nd of May, it rose and set here at the same moment. What time it set today, 100 years from now in the future, it will set it, this perfect system of Allah, Allah, moving. The sun does not rise and set according to our watches. We set our watches according to the sun. Allah's system is so perfect. Everything, the moon, the sun, the stars, the Allah. Our Shaykh Jazakumullah Khair explained so beautifully. See, this world is like a round ball, oval shape, almost round. And in this round ball, there are certain countries, certain continents that are on top. And there are certain at the bottom. At the bottom, like Cape Town, for example, Australia, South America. So the people who are on top, it's quite understandable, their legs are at the bottom, their head is on top. They're walking around, going about their work. Their cars are moving, the wheels are at the bottom, the bodies, buses, trains, everything. And the people at the bottom, the legs are, where are the legs? On top. And the heads are at the bottom. The cars are upside down. The wheels are on top. The body, the trains, everything. But if ever you get somebody tell you, watch TV today, watch this on the internet, that in Cape Town, everyone is walking upside down. Ever you stop, this is Allah's Qudrat. It is like that. It's upside down. But Allah showing you, Allah's Qudrat is above impossible things. And we know that nobody, when seeing Cape Town in Australia at the bottom, nobody is walking upside down. Whose Qudrat is this? This world of ours, if I have a table tennis ball, very tight it is, or one feather. I hold it in my hand, it could stay up. I leave it, well, it stay up or it could fall down. It could fall down. But this whole world, hey, what is the weight of the world? How many billion tons the weight of the world? How many continents? Water is so heavy. 70% of the earth is water of the world. And how many trucks, how many ships, how much, what load are they carrying? What big buildings? All this is, the whole world is just suspended in air. There is nothing holding up the earth. It's just suspended in the air. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained this, and his Khadi Mirza put it in beautiful poetic form. Ardo sama kaise hai muallak. The earth and the skies, how Allah is just suspended. It's in space. Goosh to no hand, there are no columns holding it up. Yet the roof of the masjid is balanced on these four walls and the columns here. If you take away the walls and the columns, the roof will fall down. But the whole earth, there's only one masjid, one building. The whole earth has got no columns holding it, no chains holding it. Sare alam ye kaalam. Not only the earth, all the planets. The sun, the moon, Pluto, Venus, Mercury, all the planets also. Sare alam ye kaalam, they all just suspended like that. Wahre mere Rabbul alam, wahre mere Rabbul alam. What is the qudrat of man? How great is this glass of water? If I turn it around for me, all the water will wash. Like this, I hold it because there is glass at the bottom. So the water doesn't come out from here, here it's open, the water will fall. In the island of Mauritius, the sea is all around the island. On the north, the water is coming down. But it only comes to the shore and then the waves. Whose qudrat is it? If Allah wanted to, those waves can carry on and the whole island will be wiped off. And water never flows from the bottom upwards. But the south of the island, the water is coming up. Whose qudrat is this? We must have to see the qudrat of Allah. And the sea, which we go, go to the beach, we see the sea. There is nothing in the sea that is holding it. At the south and the bottom, and in the sea which is there, is there some glass holding it? Is there some plastic holding it? But there one drop of water fall down. Allah's qudrat is so great that not one drop will fall down. The people who are walking on the south are walking upside down, with their legs up. But if you ever hear somebody fell down into space, whose qudrat is this? How great is not Allah Ta'ala? So Allah Ta'ala, that is so great. Allah Ta'ala, we have our proper aqeedah, beliefs on Allah Ta'ala. Today our beliefs are on scientific things. Our belief on Darwin's theory of evolution, which is kufr. If you believe, because Allah Ta'ala says, خَلَقْتُ بِيَدَيَّ I myself created insan, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمِ. And now to believe, want to believe what the Quran Sharif said, that man was from a monkey. Or the big bang, Allah Ta'ala created the heavens and the earth, not just one big bang. So today our children at schools and universities, we have to be very careful what their beliefs are. They are still coming to masjid, they are making namaz, they are behaving like Muslims, but the aqidah of many are gone rotten. And it is a very dangerous matter. So this is very, very important. So if we read this dua and we teach our children all, and you get the dua of the farishta who lead your hidayat for the day, then you won't have a problem. And so simple dua. What is the dua again? Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala ma. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And you won't have to tell your wife that you must put a bucket of water by the door, because now if you read the dua, and my throat will get dry. To read this dua, will your throat get dry? Your throat won't get dry. that it's not difficult, and don't take your time, you don't have to stand at the door and scratch your head. What's the dua again? What's the dua? What's the dua? So simple, bismillah, tawakkal to Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, and a farishta gives you three masjid. So we all will try and make amal inshallah, and try to teach, go home and tell the family also. Tell the children also. And if we tell the wife and the children, when we forget, they will remind us again. Then in this way, inshallah, it will become a life. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, to make amal on every sunnah. The ayats I read of the Quran Sharif, of the Surah 15, it was said, and in the Surah, Allah is discussing two subjects which are running parallel to one another. One of the subjects which we can understand our world in life, about insan and them. From there, Allah wants us to put little pressure on our brain and understand those things which are unseen, the khair. So from this example, what we can see, from there, take and learn about what we cannot see. So firstly, Allah Ta'ala takes qasam, wa-teen wa-zaytun. Wa-teen, the fig, wa-zaytun, the olive. These are eating things, we all know about eating things. We know about all our food, about wa-teen, wa-zaytun, all the things that we eat, we know about. Then two things, the spirituality which we can't see. Wa-tur-i-sinin, wa-hadha-al-baladil-hameen. Tur-i-sinin, when Musa a.s. was given the Torah, and all the rahmat and the barakat came, we can't see it with our eyes. The fig we can see, the olive we can see, we touch it, we eat it, we taste it. But the barakat of Tur-i-sinin, we cannot see. So from this, understand the reality of that. وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ بَكَّ شَرِيْهِ. The barakat of Makkah Sharif, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got in Bukhman, where the Quran Sharif was revealed, and the birthplace of Islam. So from how we can see physical things, the other and the fig, understand the ruhani things, the spiritual things, the things which we cannot see of the barakah of Tur-i-Sinin and of Makkah Sharif. Understand so far, inshallah? وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ وَبَلَدِ الْأَمِينِ. Then Allah says, لَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. This is also something we can see when we can understand that how Allah has created human being. Allah says, undoubtedly, I created human being, insan, in the most beautiful form. The greatest creation of Allah, Ta'ala, is this human being. In one place in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, وَفِي أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Why don't you look in yourself and you will see Allah Ta'ala. The greatest proof of the existence of Allah, the qudrat of Allah, the kindness, the perfection of Allah is you yourself, insan. Then how did Allah Ta'ala make his eyes? How Allah Ta'ala has made the brains, the heart, the hands, the legs, and all of it got movement, life in it. How great is not Allah Ta'ala? So if you think about this, mother and father did not make the child. Just one means Allah made. If the father made the child, every father will want his child to be the richest man in the world. Every child is not the richest man. Every father will want his child to be the most intelligent. Every child is not the most intelligent. Every mother will want her child to be the most beautiful. Every child is not there. So it's not the parents who make. And the parents, they don't know about their own eyes, where they're going to make eyes for the children. They don't know about heart, how they're going to make a heart. All this Allah is the maker of. All this. And Allah has made insan in the most beautiful form. So beautiful and so balanced Allah has made insan. One time, the Khalifa, the one minister, Isa bin Musa, who was a minister in the time of Mansur, Khalifa Mansur, in Baghdad. Baghdad was an extremely beautiful city. If we went to the Hamra al-Asad in Spain, where the gardens are, how beautiful. You get some idea of what Muslim countries, what beauty they have. The most beautiful gardens were there in this place in Spain. So anyway, he was on the 14th full night. He was with his wife in the gardens of his palace, and they were making love, and just something came in his head, and he told his wife, if you are not more beautiful than the 14th full moon, talaq, three talaqs. Sometimes just for nothing a person gives talaq. No fight in love, they were happy. And he says, if you are not more beautiful than the 14th full moon, three talaq. She was an alim. He understood who can be more beautiful than the moon. Poets of the east and the west, poets of ancient times and modern times, all use the 14th full moon as a symbol of great beauty. So beautiful Allah has made it. So she went in Parda immediately, she went away, and he was done with his wife. And he started feeling terribly sorry. The next morning he went to Khalifa Mansur, he said, this is what happened at night, and I can't sleep, I'm gone, I'm going to go mad. How, what happened? How could I say these words? So the Khalifa Mansur summoned all the ulama of the town, great, great ulama in that town. And he asked them all, what is the masala? All said, talaq has taken place. Who can be more beautiful than the 14th full moon? However, one student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi was also saying, and he, like his ustad, like Imam Abu Hanifa, they wouldn't speak until they are asked. So he kept quiet, he didn't say anything. When the Khalifa asked him, you're not saying anything, what do you say? So he said, no, talaq has fallen. He said, how can you say that? All the ulama are saying talaq has fallen. And who can be more beautiful than the 14th full moon? So he read this ayat which Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِأَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Of all Allah's creation, we have created man the most beautiful. They all understood, they said, yes, definitely that is right. That insan, human being, is more beautiful than the 14th full moon. And they all said, it's correct, there is no talaq that has fallen. So beautiful Allah has made insan. Allah has made insan the most balanced. وَنَفْسِيَوْا وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. How balanced Allah has made this human being. That, for example, our two eyes, the same size, same color. Sometimes you get somebody, their two eyes are different kind, and you notice it immediately. If our one eye was like the eye of a needle, and the other eye was big, how should we look? Our nostrils, they are exactly same size. If one nostril was small, and another one was very big, one ear, if it was like a bumper, and the other ear, like the ear of an elephant, really fair. If one leg was 1 meter, and the other leg was 1 foot, 12 inches, and we walking, hopping like this, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created man in the most beautiful form. If we had to make insan, if the father made human being, or the mother made human being, it's possible with our brains, we will say when the child is 1 year old, then his tooth must be 1 millimeter. When he's 10 years old, 10 millimeters, 1 centimeter. 20, 25, 2 centimeters, 2.5 centimeters. Bottom tooth and top tooth also. And boys and girls usually get married between the age of 20 and 25. And when you want to get married, sunnah also, you have a look at the girl. So you will see the girl, and you usually smile also a little bit. And if your bottom tooth, 1 inch, 2.5 centimeters, and your top tooth, 2.5 centimeters, and you smile, the girl will run from there. That my parents are getting me married to a bulldozer, to this earth moving machine, or who they getting me married. But no problem, her teeth also should be so big. And she should also smile. She should run from that dog, and you should run from this dog. Whose qudrat is it? That the teeth come to one level, then they don't grow more. Right? If they kept on growing, and you are now 80 years old, and your bottom tooth is 8 centimeters, and your top tooth is 8 centimeters, and you are nanabaji, and your top tooth 8 centimeters, and when your grandchildren come, you want to hug them, you want to play with them, you want to kiss them, so big teeth, they think you're going to eat them. They won't even want to come near you. Who is it that bring the teeth to one level, and then it doesn't grow? وفي أنفسكم أفلا تبصرون؟ Why don't you see the great قدرت of Allah in your forget the whole earth? Allahu Akbar. And we think that man has progressed by scientific technology, etc. Now he has made barcode IDs, barcode passport. In the supermarket, everything barcode, they just with the what you on the scan, you scan it and everything gets done. But Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً. You have got great lessons to learn from the animals. Perhaps we did not think of it, and we thought the zebra only got stripes, but then it got barcode. When a baby zebra is born, the mother zebra blocks its vision from all sides, and then it blows in the nostrils of the baby zebra, and then it scans. All the barcode of the mother is now scanned on the brain of that baby zebra. And of all the zebras in the world, that baby zebra knows this is my mother. But barcodes are not now. Allah made it from them. When the tsunami came few years ago, clever insan, when the sea water got pulled out, they went and looked what sees. And stupid animals, elephants, tortoises, rabbits, all, they went high up on the mountain. And when that water came back again, the clever insan all died. And the stupid animals all got saved. We have got lessons to learn in the human being. Anyway, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created man in the most beautiful forms. From there understand, Allah has made your insan is made from water and sand, from dunya sands. We are made from a drop of semen, which is napak, which is impure. From there understand your ruh, which has come from Allah, how beautiful is not your ruh. And as long as ruh is in the body, this human being, you feed it, you look after it, a person, it is in the hospital, he's in the coma, they got drugs for him. He's in a coma, he can't do anything. He can't do his own toilet also, he can't eat also. But as long as ruh is there, all the services are for him. The hospital will look after him, they will attend to him. The minute the ruh is gone out, not only the hospital people, your own wife will also say, now first day in Pakistan. Now his ruh is out. Value is of the ruh. So when this insan Allah is made so beautiful, if you work on the ruh, you can imagine how beautiful your ruh will become. And that is, this insan in any case is only for 60, 70 years or whatever time of this dunya. Ruh is going to live forever and ever. And how you, every person likes my body must be beautiful. I must be beautiful, especially woman, all the time, makeup and lipstick and blush and everything they do, they want to be beautiful all the time. If you worry about your ruh and you make it beautiful ruh, it will go to Jannah. And what beauty, and forever your ruh, body is going to die in many cases. If a person gets sick, Allah save us all, you become a diabetic, you got blood pressure, cholesterol, migraine, stomach ache, cancer, Allah save us all. Whatever it is, you take treatment. The ruh also gets sick. You get pride in you, arrogance, boastfulness. You have jealousy in you. You have anger in you. All these things here, you get biting about other people. This is the illness of the ruh, and it needs treatment also. So from your body, understand about your ruh also. And this body, when we treat the ruh and we make the ruh beautiful, then in another ayat Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We take great honor to Bani Adam. When you make one time, Maulana Abrar al-Haqsa rahmatullahi, great Muslim, he went and visited his friend somewhere with somebody. As they were waiting outside, they knocked on the door, they were waiting. His garden and his outside was quite dirty, papers, litter, everything. And the neighbor's garden was very nice, neat, clean, done properly. Then Maulana Abrar al-Haqsa rahmatullahi alayhi asked the person with him, that why, what's the difference between these two gardens? This one is dirty, all the litter, dirt lying there, the grass is overgrown, etc. And that garden is beautiful. So that person said, for this garden, there is a gardener. The person has paid a gardener to look after his garden. So his garden is beautiful. This person didn't keep a garden. Maulana said, exactly in the same way, like we can understand this for our roof, a person who kept a gardener of the roof, who we call a chef, and he looks after your roof, it will be like a beautiful garden. And the person who hasn't kept a garden, who hasn't got a chef, is just living day to day, eating, sleeping, making namaz also, making tilawat, zikr also, everything. Going for Hajj Umrah also, going Jamaat also. But there isn't a gardener to look after his roof. The sicknesses of his roof, his garden will be like that garden, dirty, etc. So a person needs, as we at Maulana Abraham Haqsa Rahmatullah Ali also say, you want to need a tidy house, everything on its place. Not things littered here, there, etc. You want a beautiful garden, Islam hasn't forbidden it. But more important than that, make your deen beautiful. Your tilawat of Quran shall make it beautiful. Make your namazes beautiful. Make your roof beautiful. Hey, Islam didn't say it's haram that you have a nice house, that you have a clean house. You must have a clean house, you have a clean garden, everything. But more important, one day that garden is going to get finished, or you'll get finished. But your roof is not going to get finished. It will just change its form of transport. Like when we go for Umrah, we go by car from here to the airport. Then we leave the car, we go in the aeroplane. We go, for example, to Dubai, we leave this aeroplane alone. We take another aeroplane, we go to Jeddah. When we come to Jeddah, Medina, wherever, we leave that aeroplane alone. Now we take a car to go to our hotel, wherever. So we're just changing transport all the time. So the roof carries on its journey all the time. And this transport of the body, at the time of mort, it leaves it behind. But the roof carries on. Allah gives it another form of transport. And it carries on its journey. So the important thing is the roof. So Allah explains to us, as all of us can understand, our body health, we want good health. If we got sickness, take treatment, we have good health. Every person wants to look very nice. Want to look in the mirror, how I look, comb his hair, comb his beard, put his topi this way, put his topi that way. He wants to look nice. More, no problem, within the limits of Sharia. But more important, worry about your roof, which you cannot see. And that is why Allah explained it in the Quran. That is why Allah made the ulama, the anbiya, who are the inheritors of the ulama, that they will explain us these things. That what we cannot just understand, we cannot see. That with the body we can see. And everyone worried of the comfort of it, for security, for health, for beauty, worried of your body. But your ruh you can't see, that you have to be. That is why Allah sent anbiya alayhi salam. So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. And when man, even if he looks after his body, a time comes when he goes right down. Now you're an old man. Eh? One poet says, very beautiful, پہلے بچپن میں تجھے برسوں کھلایا. When you were a small child, for years you were just playing. 4, 5, 6 years playing, jumping, running, bicycle, everything, flying, kite, you were just playing. Phir jawani mein tujhe majnu banaya. When you became a young man, jawan, you became like a man. While young people, what terrible things they do. Phir burhapa ne aake kya kya sataya. And when old age came, then how your problems you made. And your knees are paining, your back is paining. When you were young, you got married to that girl, she had, her figure was like a Coca-Cola bottle. And now after she had 4 or 5 children of yours, now she's like a 200-liter oil drum. Eh? When you married her when she was young, like a Coca-Cola bottle, every time she's putting different perfume. Now it's night in Paris. Now it is Hajar al-Aswad. Now it is this scent and that perfume. And when she's old now, she says, my back is paining, my legs are paining. Now whole day you just rubbing her with iodex and iodine. Whole day you have to rub her now. What deep he all. Oh, now no more you can smell night in Paris, and no more you're going to go and smell all Hajar Aswad and all that beautiful program. Now whole night you must smell camphor, and you have to smell all the hot things what goes into these creams for that. Now you must forget. So then now old age comes. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And then you even become more older. In Gujarati there is the saying that when you are after 40 to Ghora Jivitan, like a horse you are. 50 to Ghadera Jivitan, like a donkey. And 60 Putra Jivitan, like a dog. Now you become like that. Who Adi Sina, ever Sina, who is the father of modern medicine till today. It's not a Ali, he's a medical scientist. He said about the street woman, and according to statistics, street woman, filthy, naked woman, the average life is only 30. And they just destroy their whole life. Because when you don't look after yourself, then you destroy yourself. So he said that when a girl is 10 years old, she's longer to die. She's the doll, and everyone plays around with the doll. Young girl, 10 years old, nice, beautiful looking girl, and everyone plays. When she's 20, horomin, horomin, with all that makeup, and that she's like a horomin. When she's 30, ummul banati wal bani, mother of her daughters and sons. And when she's 40, a Jews until Rabini. Like the old lady that is left one side, nobody wants to care about her, nobody wants to look at her also. And when she's 50, Alayha la'natullahi wal malaikati wal nasi ajma'in. Everyone's curses on her. This is not for our wives who look after themselves, who perform namaz, this is for the street woman. For them she took. Our woman, Allah. Hazrat Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a delegation of women went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was the spokeswoman. And she asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, oh Allah's Rasul, our men in this dunya, they don't look at us. When they will get horu'in, what's going to happen to us? Who will care for us? Who will look at us? When they will get the horu'in in Jannah. And in the language of a wise and lecturer who adds salt and pepper to his talk. He don't just say it straight, he adds salt and pepper. He says that when our man, he says that our men look at the filthy, dirty, naked woman of the street, they don't look at the halal wives yet. When they get horu'in, then where they going to look at us? Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, did you ever think a woman can ask such an intelligent question? And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told her, go and tell the woman of the world, and that is why I'm quoting you, go and tell your woman, that the woman of this dunya, they will be more beautiful than the horu'in also. The woman of this dunya will be like queens, and the horu'in will be like the workers' maids in the house. And when your wife is so much more beautiful than the horu'in, naturally you will look at your wife. Hazrat Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha was also surprised that we going to be more beautiful than the horu'in. So she asked, Wabima ya Rasulullah, how is it that we going to be more? On what account? What Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, bi noori ibadatihim wa bi noori tilawatihim, the noor of the ibadat of women. Horu'in don't make no ibadat. And by the noor of the tilawat of Quran, and the woman who tolerate their husbands. Every day husband got a different vibe. Today you want this tea like this, tomorrow you want a woman who tolerates her. Horu'in got no one to tolerate. The woman, they say, with this man you can never make them happy. Every day they got a problem. Today they want it like this, tomorrow they want it like that. But the horu'in, they don't have to tolerate anyone. The woman of this dunya have to go through child, not only child, her. They have to go carrying the child in their womb for 9 months. What that woman goes through, her whole life changes. And many people don't understand, the mother-in-law. ask the husband, and he says she's basically sleeping only. But the poor lady, what is it she going through when she has conceived? Her whole biology changes. Now she's spewing every morning. Now she's feeling weak, she's feeling nauseous. We don't consider. We don't realize what she's doing. Childbirth is a matter of life and death, especially the first child. And how many women after the first child, they say, never again. Because what we went through, but alhamdulillah, Allah gave them women, they have four children. To bring up the children, till the age of two, especially weaning the child, breastfeeding the child, child gets up middle of the night, crying, says, mess the bed, the mother gets up, cleans up, what, buruni, don't go through. And for every drop of milk the mother feeds the child, what ajal that the other woman. All that work. So the woman of this dunya make effort that our woman also become pious, observe the commands of Allah. And they go to Jannah, they will be more beautiful than the whole of me. Anyway, Allah has made the human being, we all can understand, make effort on the roof and make the roof also beautiful. No matter how beautiful you make your body, no matter how much health your body got, but it's going to die. It's going to go in the cover and become sand. But the ruh is going to get give more importance. That, and Allah reminds us that if you eat the wrong food, today unfortunately that has become common. Junk food, eating out, drink smoking, and Allah saved the Muslims, drugs and alcohol, this destroys a person completely. Bad habits. Today, how many people still watching movies at that? And don't sleep early, and on the internet, and watching porn, and watching filth and dirt, it's all destroying a person. So if you don't look after your body, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And a person who looks after himself, then, mashallah, old age also, a person, for example, who reads Quran Sharif always, his eyes will be good always, and his brain will be intact in order, even in old age. And Allah Akbar, I've seen some of my ustads. Our Shaykh of the Maulana Shah Haki Muhammad, Maulana Fakhruddin Sahib, Rahmatullah Shaykh, the Hadith of the Abdul Jumman. He was near 90, but wallah, I say, sitting in a masjid with wudu, how handsome he was. At the age of 90, how beautiful, like a farishta. My one ustad, Qari Abdullah Saleem, he was in Germany, he taught us Qiraat, he was our Qiraat ustad. Now he's in America, Chicago, he's got the Darul Uloom. He came for a conference we had in Azad. So I told the friends, my ustad Maulana was also sitting there. I said, look at him at his age, he's 76 now. Can you see how handsome he is? And we saw him when he was in his 20s, and we imagine how handsome he was that time. So when we look after our deen, just yesterday we were talking by Firoz, that what we call it, when a person, a mu'min, any mu'min, you can see the nur on his face. He can be dark in complexion. He can be a poor person who hasn't got food also to eat, but the nur. And if your person develops that more, but tilawat with zikr, that nur shines out. And in the qabr, in akhirah, on full sirah, on the day of qiyamah, from the places of wuzu, nur will come. This is our what the woman put on their body, or the, to make them beautiful, or the cosmetics. This is the ruhani cosmetics. The out of Quran, zikrullah, wudu, this is the ruhani. So as we can understand the body, make the ruh also. As we can understand, the body goes down if we don't make our namaz. We speak lies, we eating haram, we drinking haram, then the ruh becomes worse than the body also. The body will only become dust. This ruh will go into Jahannam, Allah save us from. What will be the azab of the qabr? In Jahannam, what will be the condition? So Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who have iman, for your body, eat good food, have a good healthy lifestyle, don't be lazy, walk, do work, your body will stay good. And for your ruh, iman and amal salihah. This will make your ruh beautiful. It will make your ruh strong. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, one time went to ask Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for a worker to help in the house. Because she was alone, all the housework she had to do. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I can give you a worker, no problem. But if you want something more better than a worker, I can give you that. Everyone wants what is better. So she said, please give me what is better. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you go to sleep at night, read 33 times Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allah. This is more better than a worker. How? This will give you strength and you can do your own work. You have a worker in the house, always there are fights. So you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right. You misplace something, you tell your worker you stole the thing. You got problems with them. Now you do your own and you got strength to do it. So zikrullah will give us strength also. Zikrullah brings nur on a person's face. Tilawat of Quran Sharif brings nur on a person's face in his life. So illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihah. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ خَيْرٌ مَمْنُونَ. The body will go to, at the time of death, finish. No matter how, you could have spent millions on your health, and you could have spent millions on your beauty, but it's now going to the qabr. But your ruh is going to carry on. So, and now the ruh will carry on. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ خَيْرٌ مَمْنُونَ. They will get reward, no end to that reward. It will just carry on and on. For example, you're not even a maulana, you're not a hafiz, you're not imam, you're a father. And you make your children pious. And you make dua, Rabbana, hablana min azwajina, wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun, waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. That, oh Allah, you are the imam of your children. But now you make them muttaqin, pious. So you are imam al muttaqin. What a position. Now whatever good your children are going to do, your children can be sawab. All the time. And then more than that, you taught your children namaz, they're going to make namaz. You are going to your qabr, you're going to get the sawab. Ajrun ghayru mamnun. And if you make your children child an alim, a hafiz, he makes taraweeh. 50 people make taraweeh behind him, all that sawab going in your qabr. You made him an alim, and now he is teaching other people deen. All that sawab going for the whom ajrun ghayru mamnun. Forever and ever. This, I usually think the Darul Uloom Deoband, when it started over 150 years, nobody in the world knew something is happening. One small little place, Deoband, they put a foundation for the madrasa. A person who gave 1 paisa, India paisa, which is very little compared to today's money, and till today he's getting some. Not only Darul Uloom Deoband has not only produced ulama, Darul Uloom Deoband has produced Darul Ulooms in the whole world. All our Daruls is the barakat of Darul. Darul Uloom Deoband has produced the whole Tabligh Jamaat. Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Ahmadullah is the product of Darul Uloom Deoband. Darul Uloom has produced all our tasawwuf and khalqas. Maulana Thani Rahmatullahi, who has revived the Sawwuf in our time, is a product of Darul Deoband. Darul Uloom Deoband has fought all the fitnas in the world. It can be Maududis, it can be Salafis, who were they? It can be Qadianis. Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani stood up against Maududi. Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullahi stood up against Qadianis. Or, so that person who gave 1 paisa, how much is he getting? All this, his returns, his dividends, and his share is coming in his power. So those people give that ladina amanu wa amilu salihat, falahum ajrun khayrun. No, you cannot make hisab, you cannot. But there is no accountant that can work out what rewards they are getting. Dunya is nothing. Whether you make profits or billions, you, when you die, you're going to leave it behind. It doesn't go much. And even if you take it, it's only to help you in your cover. And it will get different. Chinese philosophy, now they don't do it, but there was this, that when a person dies, you bury all his money with him in the qabr. So one bright spark, he went to the qabr and he said, give me all the cash and I'll put a check there. Eh? Who's going to cash the check in the qabr? So put a check there and give me all the cash. So anyway, if you take your cash or you take your check, it's not going to help you. But your sawabs will help you in this world, in the akhirah. And Allah will, but sawabs will help you so much. We all must have heard many times the hadith, the instance of Bukhari Sharif. the three men who went in a cave and then the rock fell and they couldn't come out. There was no emergency service. There was no one you could phone on your phone and come and say, come and help me. What happened? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ The أعمال الصالحة, they came on. أعمال الصالحة help us in dunya also. At the time of mourn, your أعمال الصالحة also help. Imam Fakhruddin Ghazi rahmatullah, very, very great alim. Tafsir al-Kabir he has written. What a tafsir he has written. And a great, great philosopher. At the time of his death, Shaitan came and told him, what proof have you got that Allah exists? He was a great philosopher, he presented the proof. Shaitan broke his proof. Shaitan, his knowledge, where can we compare with Shaitan's knowledge? He presented the 99 proofs Shaitan broke. Then he saw the vision of his sheikh. And his sheikh told him that, tell Shaitan, I believe in Allah without any proof. Now what proof is Shaitan going to bring? That you believe in Allah without any proof. So this is when you have contact with Mashaykh. Our Aman helps us. Our Iman helps us. In this dunya it helps us. At the time of mort, in the qabr. In the qabr, a person, for example, who reads Surah Tabarakalladhi every night. And the best is to read it between Maghrib and Isha. It will come in the form of a bird and spread its wings over you. And azab from any side of to come, it will protect you. Aman is going to help you. Everywhere, the bird comes in the hadith Sharif. The thing that will help you the most from azab and qabr, zikrullah. You made zikrullah, you made tilawat, it's going to help you. The person who made dhikr in abundance, on the day of Qiyamah when people will be drowning in their sin, sweat. Mother won't want to look at daughter, wife won't look at husband, everyone. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ مُرْءٍ مِنْهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ شَأْنٌ يُغْنِيهِ Everyone will be worried about his own matters. On that day, those people who used to make zikr will be strolling around free, careful, carelessly. No worry about anything they will be strolling. One of the 8 doors of Jannah is exclusive for the Zakirin. And they will enter from that door. The people in Jannah, a person will have no sorrow besides those few seconds that will come. That those times when you didn't make the zikr, you wasted your time. And you did so amal. فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ Then Allah says, but when you, this reality has come, فَمَعَيُكَ الْعَمُكَ فَعَدْوِ الدِّينِ What is it that you deny the Akhir, the day of Qiyamah? Don't you, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ Don't you see Allah is the absolute authority and power? And how Allah proves it? In that Allah is absolute. Who likes to become sick? Anyone here? Let's say I want cancer. Or I want heart problem. Is there anyone? No. But it comes. Who brings it? Allah brings it. You try to fight Allah? You can't fight Allah. You make all your effort. Who wants to become poor? A famous Arabic saying, Ya layta shabab ya'ud. Why only my youth can come back again? Can youth ever come back to a person? Hey, who would like to become old? Nobody wants to become old. All want to be young. But old age comes. If we were in control of matters, we shouldn't become old. We shouldn't want to die. We should want to live forever. And we should be wanting to be young. But there's somebody controlling us that brings old age. So when you realize this, realize that same being who brings old age, who brings your death, is going to bring the young also. So from there realize the reality of Akhirah and prepare for that eternal life. So in the surah how beautifully Allah has explained from what we can understand with teen was zaytun, the figs and the olives. And then what we can understand is human body, the health of it, the beauty of it. And what we can understand, as much as we don't want to become old, we don't want to become sick, we don't want to die, but it happens so we realize not in my hands. I can see in South Africa, there was a doctor, a very good Muslim doctor, cardiologist. Pious, whatever operation he does, two rakats nafil namaz, sadaqah, then he does his operation. One patient, everything done, they gave chloroform, he bent over to start the operation, he died of a heart attack. With such a good cardiologist, his own heart is not in his control. Where is the heart of other people? In one world conference, they heard of cardiologists. The world's top cardiologist, who they chose as the chairman of the meeting, the topmost cardiologist of the world. In that meeting, he died of a heart attack. All the cardiologists are present, and he's the topmost cardiologist. But his own heart is not in his control. And he said, it's not everything in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the controller of everything. So when Allah has proven this, realize our spiritual side. The ruhaniyat of Quran Sharif, the ruhaniyat of Deen, I realize as we like to be rich, we want to be wealthy. Nice cars, nice houses for your ruh also, the rich. Make preparation for your ruh also, the preparation, the mentions of Jannah, even in this dunya. If you prepare your ruh, you will enjoy your palaces. Otherwise, there are so many people who are living in big, big mansions. According to World Health Organization, the most suicides in the world are in developed countries, first world countries. They got everything. What are they short of? But they're committing suicide. And the least suicides are in developing countries. Even if they're not Muslims, people who are living in the villages, in the jungles, they don't commit suicide. They're living a peaceful life. We are being fooled by the glitter and glamour of this dunya. Yahi tujhko dhoon hai, rahu sabse bala. This is your body. I must be the most distinguished person. Of all the ulama, I am the greatest alim. Of all the business people, I am the biggest businessman. Of all the doctors, I am the top doctor. This all people want all this. Yahi tujhko dhoon hai, rahu sabse bala. Ho zinat niradi, ho fashion nirada. I was indifferent from everyone. Kya yuhi jiya karta hai marne wala? A person who's got death worried, is he worried about his beauty? A person who is sentenced to death, is he worried about biryani? Is he worried about food? A person who's sentenced, kya yuhi jiya karta hai marne wala? Usne zahir mein tujhe dhoka mila. The beauty of this world has deceived. You are thinking this is everything, the end all, and the pure and the be all. Firstly, zahir par agar tu chahega, if you want beauty all the time, glitter and glamour of this dunya, firstly, zahir par tu agar chahega, fani dunya se tu dhoka khayega. From this dunya, when it's going to get finished, it's going to deceive you. You will think of this dunya, suddenly you see dunya is gone. Our life in this dunya is like a bubble of water. And the bubble just bursts anytime, everything is over. So husn-e zahir par tu agar jayega, to pani dhoka se dhoka khayega. Ye munakkash saanp hai, this dunya is like a beautiful snake. Snakes, if we go in the snake path, we see some got beautiful lines, some got dots, they look so beautiful. Can there be such a stupid person and say the snake is very beautiful? I haven't seen a more beautiful snake. Then that night when I'm going to sleep with the snake, embrace the snake. And I'm going to sleep with the snake. If the husn-e zahir par tu agar jayega, pani jo dunya se dhoka khayega. Ye munakkash saanp hai, das jayega. It's just this dunya is like a beautiful snake it will bite. Rehna raafe, pachtayega. Don't be unmindful of this dunya, you will be ever so sorry. At the time of Maud, Allahu Akbar, how the Quran Sharif explains the scene. Hatta ila jaa ahaduhumul maut, when Maud comes to such people who didn't prepare for Akhira, only worry of their body, beauty of the body, health of the body, and everything of this body in your body. When Maud came, they didn't prepare for anything. Qala rabbi rji'uni, they will see now the truth. Farishtas come. Dunya will go away from them. Akhirah will open. They will then say, حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدُهُمُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِ. Oh Allah, return me back into the world. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. I will go do good to work. I had wealth, I'll spend in the path of Allah. I had health, now I'll get up for Fajr. I'll get up for Tahajjud. I'll help the poor people. I'll do all good deeds. Now I won't waste my time. I won't do wrong things. Kalla, Allah says never ever. We gave you enough time, enough reminders came to you also. Kanda, Arjun, Innaha kalimatun huwa tahiruha. This was just the word they used to say. Whenever they hear promise, Yalla Toba, they'll never do it again. Yalla, save me from this. Once the problem is gone, back again in our old ways. So Allah says, even at the time of what if we have to send you back, once you come in this dunya, you are overtaken with the glitter and glamour. And the deception of this dunya, Allah sent His Quran for us. Allah sent His Rasul for us. And He explained to us. Allah has sent ulama. Allah has sent the real jama'ah. How much they explained to us? Take a lesson. Change our lives and prepare for the eternal life. Understood my message? So what from our dunya side, Allah showed us the spiritual side which we cannot see. How beautiful in the surah, Allah Ta'ala has explained it. So for that reason, make effort on our ruh. Islam didn't forget, don't make effort, don't eat, go in time, and don't take medicine, don't take treatment, do all that. But much more important than that, your ruh. Worry about your ruh. Take away the spiritual illnesses of the ruh. Pride is a killer disease. Worse than cancer. Cancer, the most can happen, you'll die. Pride, you won't even go to Jannah. If you got one little bit of pride, you won't get the fragrance of Jannah. And the fragrance of Jannah will go through a journey of 500 years out of Jannah. That also you won't. And if Allah don't make you maaf, you'll have to go and burn the pride in Jannah, then you'll be able to go to Jannah. So how much more important isn't it to treat? Today we don't even think we've got spiritual diseases. In this way Allah has been so kind, He has explained it to us. So for that reason we have come. We didn't come for a holiday to Mauritius. If we wanted to come for a holiday, we should book in at some hotel. We are not running short of food in South Africa, so yeah, we'll get some wonderful Punjabi food by Malala Ishaq, that's why we came. No, we didn't come. Why did we came? For our own worry and for the worry of our friends. The spiritual diseases which are cancerous, which are worse than needing a artery bypass, worse than that are spiritual diseases. So how to handle, to recognize them, and then to treat them, and to get shifa. For that inshallah, tomorrow's night program, where will they do that for us? Well, you know it, try to attend that. And Saturday will be at the Marcus, inshallah. Try to attend at the Marcus also. And the same discussion that how we can treat our people in which way. May Allah give us strong education. Anyone got any question? Dr. Luqman, kya koi sawal hai? If anyone got a question, you are welcome to ask. If we know the answer, we tell you. If we don't know, we don't know. May Allah, this is a very important thing. May Allah give us that concern, that worry, and correct ourselves. If a person got a sore, and somebody in the family thinks it's cancerous, and he's not worried about it, how severe can it be? If you got some pimple in the eye, and you're not worried, worse than that, we got pride, we got jealousy, we got anger, we are weak enough, our eyes are not in control. Looking around at us, how terrible the sicknesses we got. And we're not worried to treat them. They have to be treated. And they can be. And wallah, I say, in this times of hours of today, how many people treated themselves? And today, mashallah, they have got wonderful lives. Right? How many people who are with us, they were having problems, but today, mashallah, they're living the life of Jannah that Allah has given. May Allah let us all understand. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين يا الله جلها سنا قبول فرما يا الله اكبر عمل کی توفیق عطا فرما يا الله آخر جو حقیقت ہے يا الله وہ ہمارے سامنے لیا دنیا جو دھوکا ہے دنیا کا دھوکا کا یقین ہماری دلوں میں ڈال دے یا الله ہم دنیا پر فرشتہ نہ ہو یا الله ہمیں اپنا آخر بنا کہ دنیا میں سے ہمیں بچا یا اللہ ہر خیر ہمیں نصیب فرما ہر شر سے ہم سب کی پوری حفاظت فرما تو آپ کو لطف و کرم سے بے انتہا قبول فرما جمعے کی رات ہے تو جمعہ کا دن ہے زیادہ سے زیادہ درود شریف پڑھنے کی توفیق ہم سب کو عطا فرما ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.